2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Scripture says, therefore David inquired of the Lord, and he said, you shall not go up. And he gives them this unique direction. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. Your translation says this, and I'm reading from the New King James here, but it says, and when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And in other words, he's simply saying, go out of your way. Go out of your way. And speaks to them this very clear direction. And verse 24 says, it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the treetops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. I feel strong to speak to you this morning on the simple topic of waiting for the sound. Waiting for the sound. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your power, for your strength. We thank you, Lord, for your help. God, I pray you'd help us today. I pray you'd lead us and guide us. I pray, Lord, you'd do a work in every life, every heart. God, I pray, Lord, that you would give us direction, give us strength, God, in moments of uncertainty, in moments of moments where it's not clear. Let us learn to trust and wait on you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. There's been moments in my life, my father's ministering out today, but there's been moments in my life where my dad has told me, and he'll do this to this day, I would say every day with my brother, or if I'm traveling anywhere, he'll find out where you are, he'll look at the time, and he'll tell you, it'll take you 68 minutes to get home. To this day. Mark, tomorrow will leave his work that he leaves every day, and Dad will tell him how long it'll take him to get home. And Mark will say, yes, it will. There's been moments where my dad watches iDrive. iDrive is an app that's very important in the Price family. It's like drinking coffee with creamer. You just don't do it in the Price family. Amen, Blake? That's why you're a Loy. But no, just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. But he wants to make sure you're aware of all the traffic that's around you. There's one time not too long ago, I was driving actually back to Northwest Arkansas when we still lived there. And Dad had called me and said, hey, you might want to go 71. That might be a better route. And did I just say that correctly? But anyways, go up through Fort Smith. I don't know why I just got puzzled there, but I said, well, I think I'm okay. I wanted to go, and I wanted to have cell signal. I was in sales, and I wanted to make sure that I had my phone and all the above, and so I kind of said, I might, but I thought, you know, I'm going to go ahead and go. My dad was watching it, and he was seeing something, and he wanted to kind of give me a little help. He said, you might be best to go the long way to you, but I think it'll make it up in the end. And I remember when I came around into Conway, there was construction there, and not just construction, but there was construction and construction and construction. I'd gotten through the craziness here, but the construction there was way worse, and I sat on the interstate for a long time. And I remember going back just a few hours before and hearing my father say, you might want to take the other route, and I was thinking in my mind, I was very quick that day to dismiss what might have been needed. I might should have taken a moment and just thought about it. Because really, you only lose cell signal for about 20 minutes going that route. I could have had 20 minutes of peace and silence. I'm up for that at any point in time of my life.
I had a moment where I thought maybe I should have. It was a long way, but it ended up, it would have been the right way. And sometimes instruction needs to be enough. And the reasons why aren't always needed, but the reasons why we want to know why. We want to see why. We want to get the understanding. We want to know exactly what it is. Our God has a way of speaking to those who are willing to listen. And also, patience and trusting is something that's very critical for you and I to follow the Word of God in our lives. We've got to understand the power in trusting the Word of God, and also understanding what it is to wait and not see the answer when we desire it to be the answer for us in our lives. We are in the microwave generation where we want to push a button, open the door, and enjoy the hot, the immediate, the as soon as I can. Let me get it quickly. If we wait 7 minutes in the drive-through, we're upset. We want these things quick. Not only that, we want to order something from the other side of the country, and if Amazon Prime does not get it there on time, we're thinking, what am I paying for? And we want it. We want it now. We look for it. It's got to get here quickly. Do you understand? That item was far, far away, and it made it to your front door. But we want it, and we've been kind of fashioned to live this way, and we've kind of allowed ourselves to be set up in such a way that we desire these things. But let me just tell you, there's a gift in trusting, and there's a gift in waiting. There's something that you've got to learn in this. David was anointed, and the Philistines were upset. Philistines deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim, and David asked the Lord, he simply said, should I? David was riding a high at this moment. Others had joined in and had pledged their allegiance to David. They were going to help. They were great warriors. He said in verse 19, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. That's all David needed. David just needed to hear the Lord say, go up, and I got this. He's saying, okay, I'm going to go up. And you got it. This is a win-win situation. I've come off some bad, bad moments, but this right here is this. No more fighting. No, I'm going to win. This is going to be the end of it. And I'm excited about the word of the Lord that I got. Then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Why? We say, why would this be the case? I keep fighting because it keeps coming back. The Philistines kept showing up. They kept coming again. He had victory. They showed up again. He had victory. They came again. David was thinking, I've had so much victory over them. Why should I wait? Why should I not just go as quick as I can and seek and declare victory one more time? And David has this question in his mind, yet he listens to the word of God. When we learn to pray, we learn to trust God, we learn to seek Him, we start receiving revelation that there is no substitute for. I cannot do this on my own. You've heard this. I'm going to say it for the rest of my life. It's a principle that I try my best to live by, but I would rather do it God's way than my way. I'd rather do it God's way than my way. And so fresh off of victory, David comes again to the Lord. David always went to the Lord. When David went through the struggles he went through with the Amalekites and his men spoke of stoning him, we know he went, got the ephod, began to pray. He always went to the Lord because he learned the value of revelation. And David was sensitive to the things that God would show him. It made no sense to anyone else, but was that more than enough for David. So God told David not to go straight up when the Philistines came in. He simply told him, don't go right at them, but rather I'd want you to do something else. Go around and wait in the mulberry trees. Go around and posture yourself in the mulberry trees. These trees were not trees that had long trunks. They would have been trees that would have actually, the branches would have started lower, and they would have gone into this forest of mulberry trees, if I can call it that. And David would have been kind of a little bit perplexed by this, because not only was this not going quickly to victory, but this was going out of his way. This was going out of the way. Let me just stop for a second and ask somebody, do you feel as if possibly you're going out of your way to what you know God has promised you? I've felt that before, where it seems as if I'm going the long way. It seems like I'm going the back roads. It seems like I'm not going the easy route. But I know God's hand is upon what we're doing. I know God's hand is upon what I'm seeing in my personal life. I know God's hand is upon whatever it is I can talk about in this moment to use as an example. But sometimes it seems as if God has taken me the long way. I'm going the long route, and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's not easy for me to fathom or make sense of exactly what's going on. When David sought God's word, he didn't have a mindset of it must be this way. It's got to be this way. He truly sought the voice of God. And too many times we pray, God, give me this, but make it this way. God, give me this, but let it look like this. God, give me this, but deliver it this way. God, I believe you're going to do this in my life, but you're going to do it this way, right? And so when the Lord begins to give you a plan that does not look like that, oftentimes we bow out because it doesn't look like victory. It looks like waiting. It looks like sitting in the middle of trees that makes no sense. But David, his mindset was a commitment to God that goes beyond his own personal desires and his own personal requests. Why and what? This was the wind that the Lord was speaking about. The wind would move in, and when the wind would move in, God would begin to do something. He tells him something very, very important. He does not know, David doesn't know, the Philistines kind of brought in some more, that there is a refreshing that they felt. The Philistines are coming in a different way. David saw a beat up army. David saw an easy victory, but the Lord saw something David didn't see. So the Lord says, I know you don't see this, and I know you're not aware of this, so I'm going to take you the long way, and I want to get you in the middle of the trees, and I want you to stay there. And there's a reason for it, David. There's a reason why you're going to go. There's a reason why you got to wait. There's a reason why it's not there yet. There's a reason why you're wondering, but yet there is a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason why God has you positioned in a pattern. There's a reason why God has you set up in a place. There is a reason why. David lived in a place of total reliance and dependence on God. And when you live there, you see him in everything. You see him in the moment you can't find your keys, and you think, man, this is a terrible day. But then you realize maybe God was keeping me from something. You see him in the moment of small, and you see him in the moments of big. And David lived that way. David lived that way. David understood what it was to look up, and when he felt everything was bad, to see a bird still flying in the sky and say, you know what? If the bird can still live, I can still live. If the trees still grow, then that tells me God is still in control. If the sun, as Brother Charlie said it this morning, he woke up, looked at the window, and saw the light, and he said, well, I thank the Lord for another day. If the sun was able to be seen again, then I know God is in control. So a little bit of waiting, a little bit of waiting should not discourage me, but the question would be this: why? Why the mulberry trees? Why would this be the case? See, the reality is the Lord tells him something very important. He says, I want you to know, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For then, what? The Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. You see, let me help you understand something real fast. What trust and patience does for you is it allows the Lord to fight your battles. And oftentimes we're suited up, we're ready to go. We got our swords, we got our spiritual excitement ready to go. We're ready to go fight the battle. Why? It's not because we want to fight the battle. It's because we want to see the victory. And the reality is this, that there is a route the Lord will choose to take you on, but you've got to trust the route He's taking you on. There is a place He wants to take you through, but you got to trust that. You got to trust the Word. And so David and his men were set up in the mulberry trees. All the men in the middle of these mulberry trees. They had gone out of the way, and here's these mulberry trees. The mulberry trees, I couldn't figure out why the mulberry trees, but then I realized behind our church in Northwest Arkansas, we had a lone mulberry tree. We'd have events in the backyard, and one day our kids went back there, and when they got back in the back, someone said, "Hey, those are mulberries. Those are actually good berries." One of the older ladies said that to them, so they went, and they got their nice, clean, good clothes, and they put mulberries in their nice white dress shirts, not knowing that if you touch a mulberry, what happens? What happens? Turns purple. In that moment, when my kids came back, their hands were covered and it looked red. It looked like there was red all over the shirt. They had eaten something. They had red all over the face. And I thought, what in the world have they been doing? Did they just fight a mountain lion or something? All these kids come back and they're running, but they're yelling. And in that moment, I see yelling and I see red and I think they're crying. And we jumped up as fast as we could and we ran to them and we said, "Are you okay?" They said, "Yes, we've got berries." And I said, "What in the world?" And one of the, it was an older Russian lady who actually was going back behind the church and getting those and making jams and stuff. She said, "Oh, those are mulberries." I didn't know that, but I quickly learned because I turned red pretty quick too after I ate some. But my hands were covered in red. My face, their clothes were ruined unless you are, you know, you want to buy a mulberry stained shirt. I've got one for sale. But all the stuff was there. And I couldn't help, when I read this story, I couldn't help but think there's a couple of things here. Not only does the Lord say when the trees start, when the sound starts coming in, when the wind starts blowing, I don't know, because there's not really full clarity on this text. We do know from Psalm 104 and 3 and 4, it talks about how the Lord dispatches angels. They ride on the wings of the wind. It talks about how these angels He's in control of and they move. What I believe happened here is the wind began to blow in and it began to usher in the mighty angels of the Lord, and they went through those mulberry trees and they guided through to tell David and his men, "This is the sound you've been looking for, but that means we're already there. This is the wind of victory, not the wind of direction. This is telling you that I'm already fighting your battle." But then anybody who was left, they would have looked up and saw David and his men coming out. But when those mulberries begin to shake, the trees begin to shake, this is just my own interpretation, and I can't help but think this because of what I saw with my own eyes with my kids. As the mulberries begin to fall, they begin to catch them, and as the mulberries fell, they hit them in the face. And not only was it just the mulberries, but the mulberry, the dye of the mulberry, made these men who were regular warriors who were now facing a much greater Philistine army than what they were expecting. When they came out of those trees, they looked like wild bandits. They looked like men that were wearing war paint. They looked like men who had already been fighting a battle. They looked like men that startled the Philistines, and those that were left had gone through something they didn't understand, but God understood how to put them where they needed to be, to give them a time of waiting and equip them with something that made them look more fierce than they ever were. So when the Philistines saw them, they thought, "That's a different army than what I was ready for. These people have been through some things. These people have faced some things. They've gone through some stuff, and now they're coming at us." Let me tell you right now, and I'm not going to be but a few minutes longer, but let me tell you right now, some of you are wondering why in the world you're in the place you're in. You're wondering why you've been set here, but through every moment, God has been giving something to you. He's been giving you the power of trust. He's been giving you the power of patience. He's been giving you the power of dependence. He's put on you something that man cannot teach you. He's given you something you cannot gain on your own, but He's given you yet something something very valuable. All you've got to know is there will be a moment when the wind blows if you wait long enough. There will be a moment when the wind blows through the trees if you stand long enough. And when you hear that wind blow, the sound is going to sound like angels marching through the treetops. The place you were called to, the place he assigned you to, will be angels on their way to fight the battle you've been ready to fight. I've been so quick at times. I'm going to deal with it myself. I want to do it myself. I want to go quickly myself. I want to take care of it. And the Lord has thought, no, pull back and go through the mulberry trees. But there's something else about the mulberry trees that's very important. The mulberry trees always symbolized one thing that's critical to you and I before we go into any battle, in any fight. The mulberry tree is a tree that symbolizes this very thing, weeping. If you look up and understand the biblical context of a mulberry tree, it's a place of weeping. It's a place where you and I find ourselves not quite sure how. There was a reason why the Lord called David and his men to this place. He called them to a place of understanding, called them to a place of dependence, and he called them to a place of reliance. He called them to a place of trust. But he also called them to a place that symbolized something very important. That in order for you to get the victory you truly need, you cannot carry the pain of what you've gone through. In order to see the victory that you desire in your life, you cannot carry the weight of all that's done to you. We find in Isaiah where there's a random moment in the middle of the text where it talks about simply putting feet in fetters. There's no context for the moment, but it talks about Joseph's feet. It's almost as if it was just dropped in the middle of this text. It says that his feet that were in fetters. What it was saying was not only was his feet in fetters, but he carried the weight of what it did to him. Of the years that felt like loss. But Joseph is a perfect example of somebody who had to go through the mulberry trees. Joseph was sold by his brothers, left for dead, then picked up and carried in, and the butler and the baker forgot about him, turned their backs on him. Potiphar's wife lied on him and put him back into a place where he was now degraded again, and then he rose up again. Once again, always found himself leading in whatever situation he was in, but he found himself leading because he understood that the mulberry trees were not a detour, but they were the path. The pit was not a detour, but it was the path. Let me help you understand something right now. The butler and the baker were not a detour, but they were the path. So what I would tell David right now, no, the path was not going there quickly. The path was not to go quickly and see victory. The path was not to rush quickly and say, well, the Lord's already given me. No, the path was a place where you go out of your way sometimes and you posture yourself in a moment of questions and maybe uncertainty, but yet you get there on dependence, complete and total dependence on God. And you throw your hands up and you say, God, I don't know how, but I know you're able. I don't see how, but I know you can do it. I don't see when, but I know it's going to happen. And I trust in you, God. Heal what this has done to me. Heal what I felt from this. Lord, I bring this to you. I bring this to you. I believe that the moment the wind blew was the moment where David and his men were in complete surrender to God. I believe the moment the winds blew were the moments where they gave everything they had and they said, we've faced some things, we've lost some things, we've gone through some things, we've had victory and we've also experienced defeat, but now we reside in the mulberry trees. Now we reside in the place of weeping, and I don't want to go forth and try to see victory that is not God's victory. I don't want to try to manufacture victory that is not in God's timing, in God's way. But yo, I would rather stay in the place I'm at and just wait and wait, and I find myself overwhelmed. Sometimes the waiting's not easy. Sometimes the waiting seems like a lot. Sometimes the waiting brings on weeping. when they found themselves in the posture, in the place they needed to be in, they began to hear a sound in the treetops that sounded like marching. The sound began to blow through, and they knew then there's a battle happening. There's a battle happening in the valley. And it's not us fighting the Philistines, but the Lord. The Lord's fighting my battle. The mulberry trees didn't make sense, but the Lord's fighting my battle. Years and years of prayer didn't make sense. God, I felt like the Lord would just make a way, but here's the good news. You just wait and you listen for the sound in the treetops. The Lord's fighting your battle. Going through what I've gone through doesn't make sense, but the Lord's fighting my battle. Seeing what I've seen doesn't make sense, but the Lord's fighting my battle. Crying the tears I've had to cry does not make sense, but the Lord is fighting. He's fighting my battle. 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 So what I've come to preach to you today is simply this. Go stand and wait in the mulberry trees. Go stand and wait where it doesn't make sense. Go out of your way and posture yourself up. Lay your sword down. Lay your shield down and fall on your knees and say, God, I trust you with everything I've got. God, I trust you with everything I am. God, I trust you with the time I've spent giving myself to this. And I know now, I know now, I know now it's not about me, but it's your victory. It's your victory. Listen for the wind. Listen for the treetops to begin to move. Listen for the things that are going to come. And know that God's not come to make you wait. No, He's come to give you a plan. And He's come that you might see a victory. He's fighting my battle. He's fighting my battle. He's fighting my battle. While I wait, He's fighting my battle. While I wait, He's dispatching angels. While I wait, He's calling on all that could possibly come and fight for me. While I wait, the Philistines are waiting. But guess what? There's an army that's coming, and I'll stay here and wait while the army defeats those that are coming against me. The key to it is to be patient. The key to it is to be somebody who trusts. And the key to it is to be somebody who exemplifies obedience. Obedience, even when it doesn't make sense. He's going to fight. He's going to fight. He's going to fight. Let me just tell you right now, some of us, we've gone too quick and the angels have been called off. We've gone too quick and the angels have been told, no, it's going to happen on their own. Let me just tell you right now, I wonder what would happen is if we would just trust and stay and say, God, I'm going to fight my battle on my knees, and you're going to send angels to the place that you desire them to go. I'm going to fight my battle with trust right now. My hands are being lifted off of this. I'm giving this to you, God. I've been carrying this for a long time. This has been something I've tried my best to figure out on my own, but I've got good news that today I'm going to give this to the Lord. I'm placing this. So all I know to do right now is say, God, I trust you. I trust you. He takes what I've needed Him to do, and I trust Him. He fights where I thought I would fight, and I trust Him. He goes where I didn't know I needed to go, and I trust Him. Would you clap your hands to Him right now? We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Every eye closed for a moment right now. Let me take a moment and tell you, we will not force you to do anything. There's people that will pray with you if you desire it. But if you want to be by yourself, you're welcome to do that. I don't want anyone to feel any tension or worry here. But I do want you to know, if you feel as if you've been in a place, you felt as if you were in a holding pattern, you felt as if nothing makes sense, You felt as if you've been directed to a place that really, really, it's brought questions more than answers. What I've come to tell you is you might just be right where the Lord has called you to be, but it's not going to happen until you find a place of breaking and you say, God, I trust you with everything I've gone through and everything I'm going to see. I'm asking today before we even get, we're about to sing, but I ask before we even start, if there's anybody in this house that'd be willing to step out and say, I've had questions and I've not known, but I know now I'm going to stay where I've been called to stay. I'm going to stand where God has placed me, and I'm going to wait for the sound of the trees. I'm going to wait for the sound of angels marching in the treetops and know that the Philistines are under and are in a battle right now, and the Lord is fighting for me. If you feel that today and you feel encouraged today to stand, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar and lift your hands, or stand here with a bold desire to see God work in your life. In Jesus' name. Come on, church. Jesus.